Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our streaming snow service, the snow streams, what we're calling it today. We're glad you're with us. As you know, church has been canceled as far as being in person, but we're streaming it today so you can sit at home and just get in the Word, get your Bible out, and we're going to fellowship together over Scripture and have a little song here before we do communion together. We want to do communion with you because we're closing our 21-day fast today. So be sure, if you would, get you a little cup of juice, or it could be water, it could be a cup of tea or something like that, and maybe get a cracker or a piece of bread, and we'll close out our fast in just a few moments. But before we do that, let's sing a little bit, and let's just worship the Lord together. Because He is so good. You know, even in spite of the snow, in spite of all the sleet that's fallen, I mean, our front door right now out here is a big, big, big pile of sleet. It's like a snowdrift, but it's just a large pile of sleet. But it's been peaceful and good. And we're believing that you're safe and that you're sound and your power's on. And it's peaceful and good at your home as well. But let's worship the Lord together today. Amen. Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your life on the inside of us. And Lord, we just declare that this is the day that you have made. And we are going to rejoice and be glad in it right now. We just give you praise and glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sing with me if you would. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you all my soul, I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, spending these 21 days focused on you. And we just thank you, Lord, as we receive communion together. Lord, we remember the sacrifice you made for us, just as we have sacrificed that one thing or multiple things for these last few weeks, Lord, in fasting these things. We just thank you, Lord, we've dedicated that time to you. And we worship you. Lord, as we hold the bread in our hand, Lord, we know the bread represents your body that was broken for us. And the cup that we hold, Lord, no matter what's in it, we thank you right now that that cup represents the blood that was shed, your blood that was shed. And Lord, we take time right now to say thank you for all that you have done for us. You are so good. Lord, just as you prayed that night with the disciples, Lord, we take a moment here and we bless the bread. We thank you, Lord, that this bread represents healing for our bodies. Lord, your body was broken for us. Stripes were laid upon you so that we could have healing. You took the entirety of the curse for us. And we say thank you. And we bless this bread right now. We thank you for what it represents. And we receive it with gladness. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and partake of the bread. Hold that cup in your hand if you would. Lord, we just thank you for the cup. We thank you for what it represents. Lord, that this cup represents your blood that was shed for us. And Lord, we know that it's your blood that washed us and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, we are thankful, Lord, that today we remember that you have done that for us. You bought and paid for our ransom so that we could be free from the captivity of sin. And we just thank you that you've saved us and you've delivered us. We bless the cup right now in Jesus' name. And go ahead and partake of the cup. Amen. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you so much, Lord. Oh, for your presence and all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you that this year is going to be the greatest year of our lives. And we just give you praise and we give you glory for these things right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And say amen with me. Amen. Well, praise God. We're glad you joined with us today. We have a couple of announcements we want to tell you about, and they're on the little computer screen here, but it's still good to see. Remember that the ladies' conference is coming up this next weekend. Harry Salem and his wonderful, lovely wife, Cheryl, as she likes to be called, Cheryl, will be with us, and we look forward to that. You know, Harry was Oral Roberts' right-hand man for many years, and Cheryl worked alongside with Oral Roberts and Ronald Reagan and others after she was crowned Miss America in 1980. So come out to the church. We're going to have a big time for all the ladies on Friday night. And Friday night starts at 6:30. And then Saturday starts at 9 o'clock. And we're looking forward to seeing all the ladies there. The food, the lunch is free, but you have to sign up. So send us an email about that so we know you're coming. And join us Sunday for both Harry and Cheryl will be ministering Sunday morning and Sunday night, 10:30 and 6:30. Amen. We look forward to having you. Amen. Praise God. And then also, too, starting February the 23rd, we're going to start having our Monday night Bible study again. We did this when we first started the church. It's been a big part of our lives for many years, having a Monday night fellowship. The first one we ever had was with teenagers. We had over 60 teenagers at our home in East Tennessee and just really had a wonderful, wonderful time in the Word. And we're going to do that again at our home here in Oakland. Next Sunday, we have these little invitation cards. They're nice and neat and small, but there's something unique you can hold in your hands. On the back is a map to our home, and on the front is the logo for Monday Night Bible Study. We hope you'll come out for that. We look forward to fellowshipping in the Word with you and just spending time, amen, with you, and worshiping the Lord together, praying, having a good snack, and just enjoying your company. Amen. Praise God. Also, too, we have lots of coats coming in for the Joshua Project, and we're working in conjunction with Legacy Church with our chaplain, Pastor Johnny Bird, but we're taking coats in, used, gently used, and new coats even, new socks, not old socks, amen, and then hats and any kind of gloves, you know, that are clean, bring those in. We're going to be donating those to the police department for Legacy Church, and we'll be giving those out to the homeless coming up very soon in the Sycamore View area. So help us with that. Bring your coats to the church and any of these items, and we have a place for that, and we'll be delivering them where they need to go later on next week. So we look forward to your help with that. And then lastly, if you have an offering today, you can go online and give at thelordschurchmemphis.com. There's three ways you can give, you know, but today it's online only. So follow the giving prompts on the website. It tells you exactly what to do, and your offering will be received with gladness. And we want to pray for you today, but I do want to read you two scriptures real quick. Amen. The scriptures say here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 8, the Bible says, "He which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you so that you have sufficiency in all things. And then we also read in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors and with the first fruits of all of your income. It's important that we honor God in all things, especially in our finances. So I just encourage you, as you get your offering ready there, we're going to pray over it, pray over the word, and get right to it today. But let's believe God for increase for your life. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we just thank you right now for this opportunity to bless you and to put you first. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. Not only, Lord, in these families and those who call the Lord's church their home church and are members here, but those who fellowship with us, those who watch online. We just thank you, Lord, that you bless them. You bless the work of their hands, even their retirement accounts, Lord. As they honor you, you always honor them. And we just thank you for your blessing. We thank you for who you are, and that, Lord, you are our hope in all things. And we just give you praise and we give you glory for these things right now, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Praise God. Hey, we want to share the word with you today, and I really need to hand off my guitar. So I'm going to do that to my lovely wife, amen, who did not want to be in the frame shot, and hopefully she didn't get in there. Amen. Praise the Lord. I wanted to share with you a couple things that's happened over the last 48 hours. I had a doctor's appointment on Friday morning. And many of you know back the last week of November, Melissa and I went down to Mexico. And it wasn't for a vacation. And as we shared with people at the church, we went down because I went to see a world-renowned blood doctor. And that doctor was just super incredible. People from Israel and all around the world come to visit with her and get treatment from her. And I had stem cell treatment. I have been dealing with diabetes for over 10 to 15 years. And it's been a trial for me. A lot of medication has been increased, and it's been tough. And it's not been the easiest thing in the world. And I have gained weight, lost weight, gained weight again, lost weight again. Sometimes my AC1 would be at 11.5. Sometimes I could get it down to 6. A lot of times it ran around 8. And those things aren't good. They can, you know, take your life from you over time. And basically, after having these treatments, I've noticed a complete turnaround in my body. And Friday, I went to see the doctor and had blood work done here in Memphis. And I got that report back on Saturday morning, and I was beside myself and giddy, just laughing about it. For the first time in my life, and I've been telling the whole church, I'm going to be healed of this completely. For the first time in my life, the report I got was incredible. The report came in, and I want to read this to you because it was so good. For someone without known diabetes is how this reads. A hemoglobin of AC1 value between 5.7 and 6.4 is consistent with pre-diabetes. Well, I told everybody when we got back from Guadalajara, I will be healed of diabetes. And we are almost there because this report came back at 5.7. I have never had that low of a number in my life. It has been, I've been beside myself giddy. The treatment's working, and I am going to go back to Mexico for one more time in February and see the doctor again and get one more treatment done. But I tell you, God's been good, and everything's working. I've changed my diet, changed everything about the lifestyle that as far as food and how I've been eating. It's been amazing, and I just wanted to take some time and talk to you about healing today. Amen. And I want to give you 7 foundations, scriptural foundations, for your healing. Amen. I believe in healing. I also believe in prayer and medicine. I love my doctor. She is an incredible doctor here in Memphis, and the doctor that I have become good friends with in Mexico is an incredible lady. When I first went into her office in Mexico, the the sign on the wall, these brass lettering on the wall, it says the greatness is found in the blood. And we know that's true according to Scripture. It's the blood that's more than enough. Jesus' blood was more than enough for you and more than enough for me. But I want to give you seven things, because these are things that work for me. I've had situations come up in the past where got bad reports, but God turned it around. How many of you know Jesus is the turnaround king? Even when the disciples were panicking and locked away in the upper room hiding, you know what? They didn't build grandstands next to the tomb. They weren't expecting him to walk out. They thought everything was over. But how many of you know we serve the turnaround king? Jesus turned it around and walked out of that tomb. Hallelujah. But these are things that I have held on to for most of my Christian life. And I believe these with all of my heart. And I've applied the principles I'm sharing with you today for a time when I was told I had sarcoidosis. And now dealing with diabetes, I've been applying these all the time. I tell you, after going to Mexico, my medication's been cut in half. The doctor on Friday told me she wants to cut out another medication. It's been an absolutely incredible. And then, oh my goodness, to get a 5.7 is just incredible to me. I'm just giddy with it. But let me give you these points real quick. Write these down. The scripture references are going to be on the laptop here. But number one, and these are foundations for scriptural foundations for your healing. And I believe these, okay? You need to believe them too. The Word of God's real and it's true. Number one, you need to know that it's God's will to heal you. You need to know that it's God's will to heal you. You know, the same gospel that preaches that it's the will of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the Word of truth is the same gospel that tells us that Jesus is the healer. Amen. It's the same gospel that says he not only forgives you of your iniquities, but he heals all of your diseases. All of your diseases. It was the will of God, folks, that Jesus died on Calvary as our substitute, as your substitute, as my substitute. He bore your sicknesses. He bore my sicknesses. He bore your diseases. He bore my disease. And not only that, we don't have to bear it now, because of what Jesus did. You know, we read about that in Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 10, where it's prophesied that he would take all of our sicknesses and diseases. Amen. And then we also read in 1 Peter 2:24, where Peter wrote, by whose stripes you have been made whole. Amen. Past tense. What Jesus did was more than enough. Which brings me to number two. Another foundation you need to know, you need to recognize sickness and disease as a work of the devil. You know, one of the greatest messages I ever heard Oral Roberts preach, he preached it several times in his life, but he always would preach about how God is a good God and the devil is a bad devil. And that's the truth. Religion tries to tell you all sorts of things to justify a problem or to justify what you're dealing with. The Word of God doesn't tell you that. The Word of God says that by his stripes you have been made whole. And you know, Jesus, according to Acts 10:38, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Think about that. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Amen. And not only that, the Bible does not say he healed all that were oppressed of God. It says he healed all who were oppressed of the devil. The devil's the author of sickness and disease. Jesus is the healer. Amen. He went about doing good, not bad. He didn't go around slapping people with cancer and messing them up. No, he healed them. Bible says he did that. The Bible says in Hebrews, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he'll do for you right now. Amen. You know, Jesus doesn't have to use sicknesses and diseases to teach you something. According to Galatians 3:13, Jesus, it says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. You want to know what the curses are? Go read Deuteronomy 28. The Bible says in Galatians that cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. He did that so, and then in Galatians it reads this way, so that the blessings of Abraham could be yours. If you read Deuteronomy 28, you'll read about the blessings and you'll read about the curses. None of the curses belong to you anymore. None of them. Amen. Number three, you need to realize that God's healing begins within you. You know, I've always believed in healing. Anytime I take my medicine in the morning, even now that it's been cut back, and even with the blood pressure and all that, it's being cut back by the doctors. Miracles happening in my body. I'm excited about it. I always pray over it, though. I say, Lord, I just believe you. As I take this, it's working healing to my body. I pray over it. I never deny it. I'm not denying I'm dealing with something. I've had been dealing with something for many years now. But when I take it in faith. And I pray that it's doing a work in my body and promoting healing. As I pray and I worship God, I believe that healing is flowing into my body, that the medicine I'm taking is actually doing good for me. And at the same time, his power is working in me as well. Amen. You know, I've always said this. The Bible says in Psalms, taste and see that the Lord is good. If that's the only scripture you had, and you had medical science that tells you that in your bone marrow is white blood cells, that's what bone marrow does, produces white blood cells, which promote healing in your body. If all we knew that God, taste and see that the Lord is good, we would know that he's a healer just based on the science part of it in our own blood. That's a powerful thing to think about. He's made your body to promote healing in itself. That's good news, folks. Every time I pray for my medicine, I pray that that white blood cell count in my body is magnified by the power of God in my life, working healing in my body. Amen. So you got to see yourself healed on the inside. And not just healed on the outside, but you got to see it on the inside first. You got to believe it yourself. Amen. It's not enough to have hands laid on you and expect somebody else's faith to change something. No, you got to believe God. You got to believe God for yourself. You got to allow his word to form a vision in your life. And that way, when you see it in your spirit first, then your body's going to respond to it. Amen. Amen. We read about those things, how the word in us is alive and real. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30. Amen. That brings me to number four, though. Number four, you need to establish a point of contact. I love the story about the woman with the issue of blood. You know, she said in the scriptures, and there's several references to this in the Gospels, but Mark 5:28, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And that's not even taken into account that Jairus was already come to Jesus. My daughter's dying. Please come and pray for her. Well, Jesus, they were on their way to Jairus' house. But then this woman interrupts the whole crowd and starts a big party because she got made whole by touching the hem of his garment. And they had a Pentecostal camp meeting right there on the street. And she's testifying, Lord, I just want you to know, all I did was touch the hem of your garment and I was whole. Think about that. And then somebody came up to Jairus and told him, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. But Jesus stopped him and said, hey, don't fear. And I'm paraphrasing, but he looked at him and said, don't you fear. She's just asleep. And they went on to the house, and we know that he raised his daughter up from the deathbed. You know, that's powerful stuff. A point of contact, folks. You got to realize you got to establish a point of contact in your life. A point of contact means something to help you release your faith on. That's why I pray over my medicine. That's my point of contact. I pray over it and I take it in faith, believing God is working a wonder in my body. When I went down to Mexico and had the stem cells, I'd already prayed that morning quietly about what I was believing for. Lord, when those enter my body, they're going to promote healing in my body. And, that point of contact matters. When you make that point of contact and you say, by your stripes, I've been made whole, that can be that point of contact that changes everything in your life. The Bible talks about so many different points of contact in Scripture, such as laying on of hands, speaking Scriptures, confessing Scriptures, and prayer of petitions, the prayer of faith. But you got to establish your point of contact, and you got to stand on it and believe God until that manifestation comes in your life. Amen. Which brings me to number five. Moving on here. Number five, you don't wait for someday to release your faith. You do it now. You don't wait for the someday. You do it now. A lot of people will say things to me as a pastor, you know, well, the Lord just hadn't seen fit to heal me yet. Where in the scriptures does it say that? Because it doesn't in the gospels anywhere. Remember Acts 10:38, he went about doing good and healing how many? All who were oppressed of the devil. He didn't just pick and choose who got healed. All of them. What about the leper came up to him? They could have took him out and stoned him dead. He was covered up. Jesus was preaching on the sermon, preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And he came down off the mountain. And the leper came up to him and took the cloak off. And everybody could have hollered unclean and picked up stones and said that was the law and kill him. But Jesus, when that leper looked at him, had compassion on him. And he asked the Lord, will you make me whole? And Jesus looked at him and said, I will. And he did. He left, went away whole. Amen. You gotta not wait for someday. That future for healing is not in the future. It's now. Future is now. Faith is now. Today is the day of deliverance and healing and preservation and prosperity and safety and soundness. Don't wait for someday. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Which brings me to the number six today. Shut the door on defeat. Shut the door on defeat. You know, the moment you establish your point of contact, and this is a reference for the woman with the issue of blood here, and Ephesians talking about don't give the devil an opportunity. But you got to shut the door on defeat once you establish your point of contact. Every time I take my medicine, always, that's my point of contact. Lord, I thank you this is working in my body. But at the same time, I always thank the Lord afterwards. Thank you, Lord. I will not be defeated. I will not quit. I'm going to run my race with gladness. I'm going to fight to the finish. I'm going to be a winner because I'm not a loser because you made me a victor and not a victim. And you know, when you realize and you refuse to talk defeat, then you refuse to talk about sickness. You don't talk about how you feel, but you talk about what you believe. There's things I feel. Yeah, you know, I've had pain in my body. I had a tumor in my back a while back, and the doctors took that out. And I was in so much pain, I couldn't walk through the store for 5 minutes without having to sit down. But now I'm fine. No problems. They got it all out. And everything's just as good as ever. But you know what? You can't let the pain talk to you. You can't let the hurt get to you. You know, it's there, yeah. But you know what? The word is more powerful. The name of Jesus is above every name. Amen. And I speak his name, and his name always works. Always works. Always stand guard over your mouth. Like Barney Fife would tell Andy, tick a lock, Andy. Tick a lock. You need to put a lock on that mouth of yours and quit talking doubt and unbelief and speak the word over your own life because it works every time. Which brings me to my last point. My last point, so important. You know, we don't give the devil an opportunity. We shut the door on the enemy. But number seven, you need to place yourself in an environment of faith. You know, it's important to be in church. We have a lot of lazy Christians these days who lay out of church. Church ought to be the most important place you're at in your life. It ought to be. It is, you know, you say, well, you're a pastor. You would say that. Yeah, but you know what? You need to have people around you that encourage you. You need to hear the word outside of your four walls so that you can be corrected and encouraged and put on the right path. Someone praying for you, someone believing God. You know, when you're standing on the word of God, that's when the devil will try to fill you with doubt and unbelief. But you need to stay in the word. That's why you need to be in an environment of faith, be around people of like faith. That's why you need to be in church, go to a Bible study, worship the Lord with other people. Those things are important because they encourage you on the inside. And all of us need encouragement on the inside. Amen. In fact, we know in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word hearing in the Greek is a repetitive word. In other words, that verse could really say, faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, over and over and over to infinity. You need to always be hearing the word in your life. That's what changes the big picture, if you would. And I don't know about you, but all of us need to change the big picture in our life. Not let other things dictate our future, but let God's word dictate your future. Especially when it comes to anything in your life, whether it's your finances, whether it's your job, or the setting of goals for this new year. You need to let the word of God dictate and prophesy and speak forth the future that he's called you to, because he's faithful to you and he wants you blessed. He wants you healthy and whole. He wants you running your race and finishing your race with victory. So when you stand before him on that great and notable day, as the scripture reads, he'll look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. Well, those are my points today, and I tell you, you know, you need to have an understanding of what the Bible says about your healing, because it'll help you live your life in victory. Amen. I want to pray for you. If you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, boy, it's a good time to do it. And there's a reference here on the screen for an email address. If you pray with me today, send me an email. I will personally get this email and read it. Put your address in there. We'll send you a Bible. We'll send you a book about who you are in Christ and what the new birth is about. But I want to pray for you right now. And if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's the easiest thing in the world to do. All you have to do is tell the Father, Father God, I believe you sent your only Son, Jesus, to die for me. I believe that he was crucified, that he bled for me, that he died on the cross and was laid into a tomb. And I believe, Lord, you raised him from the dead. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. Jesus, come into my life. Make me brand new. From this day forward, I will live for you and serve you. And until I see you face to face, I rejoice in the fact and knowing that I am saved, that I am born again, and that I know your voice. Amen. That's all there is to it. If you prayed that prayer, send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. And we'd like to pray for you. If you don't have a church, come join us at the Lord's Church. We're at 7525 Bartlett Corporate Drive in Bartlett, Tennessee. We'd love to see you. And there's other services you can watch online. Take some time and get into the Word with us. And we sure do appreciate you spending time with us this morning. It's an abbreviated service, but I think you've got a good word, a good solid word that you can hold on to. Amen. Praise God. We believe God's blessing upon you. Stay safe. Stay warm. Get you a good cup of coffee. That's what I got here, and I'm going to drink mine in just a minute. Yay! And get into the Word while you're having some time off, and let the Lord speak to your heart, because he's a good God, and the devil's a bad devil. Amen? You got the victory. We'll see you on Wednesday night. If not Wednesday, we'll see you this weekend at the ladies' conference. Amen. And for Harry and Cheryl Salem on Sunday. God bless you. We'll see you soon.